Holy Spirit, may your word alone be spoken and heard through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our 12-year-old grandson named William got my attention last Christmas by smiling mischievously while looking me right in the eye and as if tossing me a challenge, announced to the gathered family, "Life has no meaning." I began to dispute his credentials for having such an opinion. He abandoned church school when he was about 7 years old because he said they read only one book. And he claims to be an atheist. He thinks he's cool, and indeed he is cool. And I'm glad he's even interested in such questions, and I welcome the challenge. William is not depressed. On the other hand, today's lesson from the Hebrew scriptures comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. Not a curious 12-year-old. Ecclesiastes was written by an apparently experienced, sophisticated, wealthy man, an older person who spent a large part of his privileged life struggling with the question of meaning. The biblical scholars call him Koheleth, the teacher. Koheleth found no meaning in anything he had seen. All is vanity. The word vanity is used 38 times in this book. And it doesn't mean the kind of narcissistic vanity of thinking you're special. It means futile or senseless. Or literally, it means mere breath, air, nothingness. Perhaps hot air would be a good colloquial translation. He says he gave his heart to despair, and this too is meaningless. Now, it's very dangerous to try to psychoanalyze Bible characters, but after reading the short book of Ecclesiastes again, I admit, I thought to myself, he's depressed. Yeah, at least we can say that the worldview he presents is depressed. Very modern, I might add. Very honest, perhaps. Similar to our secular culture and the fashionable new atheists who actually are saying nothing new. Even Abraham Lincoln, in his 1862 address to Congress, said that Ecclesiastes is, quote, "the most powerful expression of man's life on earth." Lincoln could relate to the pessimism of Koheleth's worldview. Yeah, there's a lot of hot air around, and frustration, traffic, robocalls, false news, there's a lot to complain about. It would be easy to become cynical, especially the older you get. But, and this is a huge but, we have the rest of the Bible. The message of Ecclesiastes is quite the opposite of the meaning of the rest of the Bible, which finds meaning in all of God's amazing creation and God's active relationship with human beings and animals. Ecclesiastes was written about 250 years before Christ. And over the centuries, many scholars have asked why and how Ecclesiastes was even included in the Bible and in our lectionary. So today, especially with the baptism of Briar Bradley Gardner, we have a strong contrast between the lesson of Ecclesiastes and the rest of our faith. Two very different worldviews, and it matters very much which one we believe and support, especially today when so many people are depressed. Even young people, the statistics are terrible that in the last 20 years, more and more young people are depressed. And this despite medical advances that have produced numerous medicines that relieve depression, at least in some people, and many people. The causes of depression are complex, and I don't presume to address that. They probably involve genetics, life situations, general health, as well as worldviews. Yet I need to say, as I studied this a bit in preparation for today, that women who, it's just a fact, women who attend religious services are 5 times less likely to be depressed than women who do not. And sadly and perplexingly, there's no such correlation for men. This is something we need to pay attention to and think about. I wonder how Koheleth would have felt if he'd had the opportunity to take an antidepressant. And we are called to care about those who do not join us because they are depressed. In last Sunday's sermon, Mary Erickson pointed out that we need to reach out to people who find religion meaningless or stale. We need to listen to those people to find out why. And we need sometimes fresh expressions. We need new ways. We need to be open to new ways, as well as cherishing our old and beloved ways. Viktor Frankl is a Holocaust survivor and psychiatrist who wrote a book entitled Man's Search for Meaning. I'm sure some of you have read it. It sold more than 15 million copies worldwide. And he wrote something in the preface which is relevant. He said, "I want to convey to the reader, by way of a concrete example, that life holds a potential meaning under any circumstances, even the most miserable ones. And I thought that if the point were demonstrated in a situation as extreme as a concentration camp, my book might gain a hearing. I therefore felt responsible for writing down what I had gone through, for I thought it might be helpful to people who are prone to despair." A good book to read. Frankl's conclusion is, the meaning of life, of your life, is to help others find meaning in theirs. He espouses what he calls tragic optimism, which does not deny the difficulty and pain of being a human. It's hard to be a human, no matter how young you are, but particularly when you're old. But he holds hope. We get that. We can do that. We are a house of hope and healing. And today we are baptizing a young child, Briar Bradley Gardner. And in so doing that, we, the church, assert a worldview that is full of meaning, that everything has significance. Jesus said, "The hairs on your head are numbered. God notices the fall of the sparrow. All life is holy and meaningful." In baptism, we claim to be more than we appear. We assert that life is more than our 5 senses. We assert our belief in a great, connected universe, that we are of which we are creatures, but not only of this beautiful earth, but of that beauty is but a facet of a greater complexity in the universe, both seen and unseen. We don't see everything in this life. Doesn't mean it's not there. A great design, not comprehensible by our earthly minds, yet perceivable in part by faith. We assert that our life consists of more than a span of days, months, and years, however short or long that may be. I love the words of William Wordsworth, and it, especially as I look at this beautiful child. "Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul cometh from afar, not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home." In baptism, we promise and affirm that we won't forget where we came from and where we are going. We are members of a human family, those who went before us and those who will come after. And we're also no longer subject to the estrangement of race or gender or religion, neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female. In baptism, we are one. So when you parents and grandparents answer on behalf of Briar, "Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? What do you imagine you're renouncing? What is likely to become between our children and their very best being? Secular values, for one, I think, like celebrity and fame, they're not worth going after. Bullying, physical, emotional, and on social media. And we continue to question how much social media is helpful for the young. And of course, drugs and alcohol, which some people used thinking that's going to help depression, but it makes it worse, except for antidepressants. When we all promise by our prayers, when we all in this coming service, by our prayers and witness to help this child grow into the full stature of Christ, what does that mean to us? How can we, both her immediate family and the godparents, but also how can we all help her blossom into her best self? How can we all model the full stature of Christ? We're all called to do that. The full stature of Christ. Perhaps the value of Ecclesiastes is that he admits that at times in history our piety and religion have lost connection to that power, to the Holy Spirit, and become stale and even sometimes evil. Religion has at times lost connection, but we are not lost. We are connected, and we offer that connection to the world. When I walked up here, I looked at those toys. Those toys are full of meaning. The diapers that we bring are full of meaning. The jackets that this church gave out free all winter are full of meaning. And we also have the big, large questions like hope and faith and healing and love and this mystical baptism and Holy Communion every Sunday. I pray and trust that our grandson William, and Briar Bradley too, with their curious God-given minds, and the other children here, every child here and every adult here, will someday discover the deep miracle of the divine presence and be filled with meaning, love, gratitude, and peace. I pray the same for every one of us and for those millions of people who are hungry for meaning, and especially those lost people who take a weapon to kill innocent people, as we've seen in the last 2 days in the news. May we all be empowered to find fresh expressions, to reach out to those people, and let our light so shine that lonely people become curious about where our light comes from, and then we can share it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.